freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. You are listening to Anti-Media Radio. It is June the 1st, 2017. Trump. From his Twitter account to Kathy Griffin to now the climate and the Paris Accords. Are you tired of hearing about Trump yet? It seems like everybody is distracted from one thing to another with something that he's done, said, or typed. Again, for the millionth time, as we've said on this program, he is the perfect distraction for the establishment, because whatever he does is going to be covered ad nauseum, and it makes me nauseated. It's absolutely ridiculous that nobody is paying attention to anything that is going on in the world right now, because Trump sent out a tweet, because Kathy Griffin took a picture. Who cares? It's pathetic how easily distracted people are and their false rage against something they don't even know what they're talking about. Their feelings were hurt. We're going to be sensitive about something today. Why don't you get upset about the fact that there's people dying overseas every single day from U.S. bombs, not to mention from bombs that are supplied to other countries, not to mention people that die without U.S. bombs? It's the state of the world. It's the situation we are living in. But please, please be upset about Trump and his Twitter account. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our co-host for the evening, Mr. Josie Wells. Josie, what's going on?
Hello, how are you?
I cannot complain. How's life been treating you?
I'm good, good. Same old, busy as usual.
Heard that. And the man himself, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
What is going on? You know, I'm kind of a little surprised you didn't bring up the Trump's son, his 11-year-old son, seeing this image on television and being traumatized forever.
I'm traumatized, so it's not about that picture. I'm just traumatized in general because of the absurdity of all of it.
Yeah, traumatized by possible, I don't know, war with Iran. You know, that's something
well,
we could all
they've
be
been
really
spewing,
upset
they've
about.
Been, we'll
and that's
see.
What really pisses me off. Everybody's pissed off about Trump, or they're pissed off at people who are against Trump, or this, that, and the other. And again, you just pointed it out. He is the absolute perfect smokescreen for them to go ahead and roll their agenda on through, and which is exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a bunch of distraction, a bunch of just nonsensical talking points. The whole Kathy Griffin thing is ridiculous. First off, I didn't even know Kathy Griffin was alive until this picture came out.
I really like, honestly you know, haven't kept
vacationing
up with
down in down in Florida somewhere, and you know, living the good life. You know, she's been at it for quite some time now. I didn't even know she had a career. I'm being serious. And now we're talking about Kathy Griffin again. Yay.
Well, Yeah.
So whoever's idea it was to take that picture, you know, I guess to reignite her career, whatever the case may be, certainly did an outstanding job, because here we are all talking about Kathy Griffin for better or for worse. Yay.
Well, I'm going to do my best not to. What I do want to talk about is quite a few of the stories that aren't being discussed amidst all the just ridiculousness of the world that we live in.
Yeah, some actual real news, some like really life-changing stuff happening around the world that does not involve, doesn't involve Kathy Griffin and a stupid picture.
The post-satire age that we are in. The first story I want to bring up is, and I don't know who heard about this. I haven't heard much discussed about this. And when I say much, hardly anything. But this week, Exxon signed a deal with Saudi Arabia. And Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, was present for it. Of course, he's the former CEO of Exxon, which supposedly he wasn't going to have any more dealings with them. But yeah, right now the story is up on the front page of the antimedia.org in the right hand column under Our News. It's actually a story written in the fifth column, news.com. I just read a little bit of the first paragraph here. In a glaring conflict of interest, Rex Tillerson, current U.S. Secretary of State and former Exxon CEO, was present in Saudi Arabia for the signing of a major agreement between Exxon and the state-owned Saudi Basic Industries Corporation. Thanks to Exxon's own press release, we know that the Exxon CEO, Darren Woods, was in Saudi Arabia for the annual Saudi U.S. CEO Forum. And it goes on to say how they have signed a deal with the Gulf Coast Growth Ventures Project in Texas, $10 billion petrochemical complex near Corpus Christi, yada, 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 money exchanging hands, all. Same old, same old. And this is really just to kind of reiterate how much I talk about that we are in complete bed with Saudi Arabia. I know people get sick of me talking about that, but nobody's listening. So I'm just going to continue talking about it. If you were going after Trump and you were a critic of Trump, how people seem to be a critic of Trump and they get upset when he types something wrong on Twitter, don't you think you'd go after the fact that his Secretary of State and former Exxon CEO is making deals with Exxon and is there? Do you think that would be a bigger deal than a tweet? I mean, that's just me.
I know, it's definitely crazy. I mean, it's almost this point, that people, I mean, they've just, everyone's just kind of made their decisions, but it's just, it's so blatant that that's globalism. Like when, you know, all of the Trump supporters, when they get so worried about globalism and they want to push nationalism because they think Trump's going to break up, you know, the new world order. That's exactly what Rex Tillerson is over there, you know, cementing. He's actually just pushing that further and making it. It's just crazy to me that they're not even trying to hide it, and no one's really raising any red flags.
No, because you know people are too busy worked up with the distractions to worry about anything real, and it's just so frustrating. And you know, again, this goes back to the whole, there's no real news anymore. There's just confirmation bias. And we've seen that this week. This has been just a glaring example of that. People being upset about all this outrageous stuff. Meanwhile, we have something like this going on. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. We've also seen, I mean, there's just a ton of stories here. Another one that I wanted to hit on is on the front page of the antimedia.org under their news section on the front page. It's actually a story from hackread.com. Secret Pentagon files left unprotected on the Amazon server. Accidents happen to everyone, but according to a recent report, this one is pretty big. Apparently, some of the confidential data released to the U.S. military project was simply left completely unprotected on a server belonging to Amazon. The data included over 60,000 files with some of the very sensitive info publicly accessible and not even protected with a password.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, almost 28 gigabytes of confidential data, which a contractor from Booz Allen Hamilton had left unguarded. And for, you know, Booz Allen Hamilton is one of the top defense contractors that works alongside the United States government. It's actually who Edward Snowden worked with for a while. Basically, they're an extension of the U.S. government. They're an outsourcing. So if anything goes wrong, it won't be pinned on the government. It's a private corporation that did it. So among the data that was left exposed are also the unencrypted passwords belonging to contractors who were granted with the top secret facility clearance. So we have people with top secret facility clearance and their password, it was all just exposed on an Amazon server. No password, no nothing.
It's like something out of like a sitcom. Like that's something that would happen like in a funny movie.
Yeah.
On Amazon too. I mean, wow. First off, why is, you know, why is the Hamilton firm still involved in national security after the Snowden incident?
That's a silly question.
And other, you know, situations that have happened, not near as high profile as Edward Snowden, of course, but that, you know, that there have been situations with the United States government at Booz Hamilton. I don't get it, first off. And then, you know, now we're talking about, you know, classified government documents on Amazon.
I think
can go buy pantyhose and condoms and books right now.
I think it's really funny. Like I'm just picturing in Zoolander, you know, that when that part where they're trying to get the files in the computer and they have no idea what they're doing. And they throw the computer and like the files are in the computer. Like they're just complete doofuses. They're completely incompetent. I think it's really funny.
I like Bill Murray in Stripes, you know. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Post-satire didn't even cover that.
It's really great. I think it's great. I think a lot of the things that are happening, like people being outraged, and what a lot of people don't realize is that I think it's good that a lot of people are getting mad. I mean, it could, because, you know, the more people I see posting, I've actually just in the, I would say it was last week I saw, it was two people who previously were supporting Trump, and they were talking about how he's just doing the same things that all of the other presidents have done. I think people are starting to now, I think it helps that when, you know, when people get mad, when the liberals get outraged, and then, you know, the Trump supporters come in with, oh, well, Obama did it. I'm like, at some point, these people are going to have to, like, these dots are getting closer and closer. At some point, they're going to have to connect them. Like, it's right in front of their faces. I think it's a good thing.
Well, and I have to throw this out there too, you know, again, with Trump, because Trump supporters have been very, very quiet on social media, at least in my circles anyways. The loud talk of all of this change and progress and this, that, and the other has definitely quieted down quite a bit. You know, that you mentioned the whole thing about Obama, you know, there was absolutely no outrage whatsoever when Obama was being hung in effigy in 2009 and all the massive protests and, you know, angry rednecks marching in the streets talking about,
there
you know,
were people outraged at that, yeah. Because absolutely. There were people mad about that.
But not to the level that we're seeing right now.
It's just,
I mean,
look, it's just one side pointing at the other. That's all it is.
And that's all it's ever been, man. I mean, really, that's kind of my whole point about this. It's all, and again, it's just a silly talking point, a distraction above all. A massive, huge distraction about nothing. I mean, really about nothing. I think the edited Beatles album cover was way worse.
Yeah.
Those were babies. I mean, come on.
But, yeah, so Booz Allen Hamilton, by the way, is saying that the files that were left unprotected are now secured and that a complete investigation is being carried out, of course.
Obviously.
So far, guess what? Shock, shock. They claim they have found no evidence of any classified data being compromised.
Who discovered it? Like, how did they find out that the information was left?
Somebody probably got drunk one night and Googled, you know, government secrets, and bam, there were some for sale on Amazon for, you know, $49.95.
Oh, wait, someone was selling them?
No. I'm being facetious. I mean, we're talking about Amazon here. I mean, everybody that I know practically shops on Amazon, right. Which is pretty much what they're famous for these days. So the fact that it was found on Amazon or somewhere in the Amazon network, is just that's hilarious to me.
They were discovered by a guy named Chris Vickery, who is with UpGuard. He's a cyber risk analyst. The server in question mostly contained files that are public, so finding this must have been quite a shock. Especially since the servers used by the U.S. government always kept on a separate space, which is known as GovCloud. GovCloud is also protected heavily by both physical and digital security protocols. So it was discovered a week ago by a cyber risk analyst.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you wonder how long it was left, you know, accessible to the public. That's interesting. I still think it's really funny because the government, I mean... The government's really incompetent, and I think it's kind of funny.
They are. I don't know, real quick, though, if y'all have watched House of Cards new seasons on this.
Oh, one. Man. Yeah, it's a good one.
This will spoil nothing for anybody, but just dealing with something that's conspiratorial, they ask one of the people on the show about, like, quote-unquote conspiracy, and, of course, the answer is, and this is a real-life answer you get, the government, A, is not that powerful, and they're too incompetent. And I think that's 1,000% true, and I think that's a double-edged sword, too, because I think that is sometimes used as an excuse, while at the same time they are completely incompetent. Like, they use it with benefits.
Like, if there's an actual terrorist attack, I assume it'll be covered up as incompetent, and if they accidentally mess something up, I assume they'll pretend it's a terrorist attack. I'm just kind of like, whatever they say, it's the opposite.
Right, yeah, completely.
Yeah, pretty much.
They use it when it's, you know, to their benefit.
Right.
But another story I wanted to hit on real quick. Let's see here. 200 Iraqi civilians, jumping ship a little bit, but of course, you know, mainstream corporate media is not going to cover any of this. 200 Iraqi civilians killed in Mosul airstrikes. Reports of civilian deaths in U.S. airstrikes in western Mosul appear to be once again soaring out of control as indications of just over a dozen civilians slain has turned into a flurry of airstrikes targeting ISIS-held neighborhoods. While at least some of these civilians were killed in U.S. coalition airstrikes, there are also reports of a significant Iraqi Air Force presence over the area. Right now, the reports are coming in that it was around 200 civilians that were killed. And I don't know about y'all, if you have noticed, and we've talked about it a little bit on the show, but the civilian deaths are just going up and up and up.
Right. Is this the separate airstrike than the 100?
Yes. March? Yes. Okay. This is different.
So it's 300.
Oh, it's more than that. If I sat here.
I mean, just between those two.
Oh, yeah. The other,
I mean, you know, it seems like weekly we talk about the Syrian airstrikes that are taking civilian lives. And again, I have to point this out. Anytime we bring up a story like this, we're talking about civilians, not soldiers, not members of ISIS, normal, everyday, average folk, just like the three of us.
Yeah.
I want to give everybody a little secret here. If you want to go to the antimedia.org and you can use the search bar and type in search words and you can...
Hello?
I think
we got quiet there. What happened?
You cut out, Scott.
I cut out? Okay.
Everything you just said was, we didn't hear.
Because it was important. See, there you go. But if you go to the search bar on the antimedia.org, and you can type in whatever keyword, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whatever, and you can find all the stories that have come up and see everything that's gone on in the past, whatever, however how far back you want to go. Right now, just typing in the word civilians. This is just from the past week. These are headlines from the past week. Two of these stories are related to each other, so I'll combine those. But today we've got 200 Iraqi civilians killed in Mosul airstrikes. U.S. is now killing more civilians in Syria than Assad is. Let's see. U.S. airstrike kills at least 80 civilians in Syria as UN condemns rising death toll. At least 105 civilians killed by U.S. airstrike in Iraq. Syria, U.S. airstrike kills 16 civilians, including 5 children. 5 civilians killed in Yemen raid carried out by U.S. Navy SEALs. This is from the past week.
Right.
This is from the past week. And this is just that we've covered. There's no telling how many that are completely going unreported and we're not able to see the numbers on.
Disgusting.
Yeah. And again, let's talk about some tweets, everybody. Let's talk about, here's the thing people don't get. Like, everybody's really upset about this climate deal. At this rate, at the rate we're going, we're going to be way dead before the weather can even think about taking us out, or climate. Like, people are too oblivious. Our own stupidity is going to have us killed way before anything else has a chance to. But people are so, and I don't know if the word's stubborn, but they're so entrenched in their own belief system that they, of course, they're right. And it's this false moral high ground, the pseudo-intellectualism that they stand on, whether it's the right or the left, and they think they know everything, and they just fall down these rabbit holes, I suppose is what you can call it. But they're holes, all right, and they've intentionally been dug for people to step in so they don't can't get their head above ground to see what's actually going on in the world. I just named off all those stories from this week of civilians being killed. And again, whatever. Nobody cares. If you want to criticize Trump, there you go.
Not. Oh, my God. Did you see that picture that Kathy Griffin did of Donald Trump's head? Oh, that woman needs to be in jail.
So as you see,
let's talk about that for 5 hours and let's go eat dinner. I mean, you know, that's pretty much about the size of it. That's your general American public right now.
Well, they have bought into a hook, line, and sinker. Is this isn't getting reported because, again, oh, of course, and it's true, the media just rails against Trump, but they don't report this stuff and they don't shove this down people's throats is nope. Because this was happening under Barack Obama as well. And this is part of the agenda. Now, I will right. say.
Yeah, it's going to continue to happen. So they can't harp on it because then they would look like hypocrites for not doing it before and hypocrites if they don't continue to do it.
Dang, that's yep. it. But they're okay with it happening, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you see when it is reported, when there is a strike that's carried out, you see the likes of John McCain and even Hillary Clinton come out and go, we support Trump with that. Trump's coming around. He's finally doing the right
thing. Finally, he's doing it. Yeah, he's finally caught up to what we've been talking about this whole time, that nasty ISIS.
That's it.
It's terribly
sad. Go ahead, Josie.
No, I said it's just terribly sad because people, even when you bring it up to people, they'll just say, oh, well, you know, we're at war. That's what happens. And that, to me, that's terrifying to me. Because if a bomb went off in, you know, in this person's, you know, in their home, they wouldn't be thinking, oh, it's just war. It's a war casualty. It's not a war. The United States is just attacking 7 to 9 other countries every single day. I think it's up to 9 now. It was 7, but.
Well now, and this is one people don't realize, too, and I talked about it while Obama was in office, is the number of actual countries that we know of that he bombed was 8, and is usually reported as 7, but the United States bombed on a few occasions. It wasn't continuous, but on a few occasions we bombed the Philippines when Barack Obama was in office. It was around 2012 that it's reported that it happened. Now we're seeing, and of course this is not being reported either, for whatever reason, I can't answer it, but ISIS is all of a sudden in the Philippines.
Oops.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Uh-huh.
And where did they all get, if the United States killed 70,000 members of ISIS, where did these ISIS members come from? Where? I don't understand it.
Well, and I hear in my head right now, Justin King screaming. Yeah, Justin King is screaming at the radio saying, blowback, blowback. And, you know, absolutely, there is some of that is at play as far as new recruits go.
Oh, yeah.
I
was just joking because the numbers that came out were over more than double what we, you know, what U.S. military had estimated ISIS members, the number that they gave the public.
But how many other people have we killed in this campaign other than ISIS that had nothing to do with ISIS or nothing to do with any of this tomfoolery to begin with?
Tens of thousands, probably, I mean, definitely over 100,000. I'm probably upwards of hundreds of thousands since
So I'm trying to see who the aggressor is here, because I'm trying to remember that ISIS attack we had here in America. When was that? When was that? I can't remember.
It depends on who you're asking. Because look, and something that should bring this home for people, and I'll be the first person to tell you, because people that know me knows, for whatever reason, I've always kept up with British politics and just stuff that goes on in Britain. By the way, there's an election coming up. That's kind of entertaining. It's nowhere near as entertaining as the one we had. But what the attack that we just saw in Manchester, that was vile, what happened. But that should remind people that what's going on in the Middle East. There were 22 people killed in that attack. And yes, it was targeted at children. But the list I just read off of civilian deaths, okay? The people need to realize that that is going on in the Middle East every single day. There's innocent people being killed, and it's being shrugged off by the people that's doing it as, well, we were trying to help them. Well, sorry. Whoops, accident. And that's like, and people just can't fathom why there would be an attack. We live in a world where people, you know, it's an eye for an eye. That's how people exist, whether it's right or wrong. And in my opinion, it's clearly wrong. Because this is what we get. It's just going back and forth. But people can't seem to get that through their head.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. It's innocent people. It's innocent people that are dying. It's not like ISIS is targeting the right people. I wouldn't even say the right people. That's horrible. But like ISIS isn't targeting, you know, the people who are targeting them. Like the United States government is going after that. They're after innocent people. So, like, this situation all around is horrific. Like, but people aren't, if you are mad at, if someone's mad at the United States government for bombing innocent people, then people automatically assume that they're okay with Americans dying. And, like, where does that come from? It's not like that. ISIS is disgusting and despicable and horrible. And so is the United States foreign policy. Like, both of those things are horrific, and that it's possible to think, it's actually way more rational to think that way than to harp on one attack over another, you know?
Well, people think especially with stuff like this, they think with emotion and they don't think rationally. It's designed that way. I mean, the fear is pushed on people.
Absolutely. It's just, it's so sad and it's so horrible. And we get to a point where it's like, what do we do? What do we even do about it? We can't even get people to perceive this properly, because in order to fix a problem, you know, it has to be identified appropriately. And we're not even there yet.
Well, it is kind of identified at points when it benefits the agenda. And go back to 2008 and then look at what we just had in the election. Barack Obama, we're tired of this war. We're going to clean it up. When it benefits somebody, they'll talk about it. Trump talked about it. We're going to stop policing. We're going to stop doing this, yada, yada, yada. And here we are again. So it'll be brought up when it's beneficial. But when it actually comes to practice, and once these people get in power, then they start shoving the fear down people's throats, or they just totally ignore it. Because right now, most of this is just going totally ignored, as did what happened under Obama. Right. Except in spots, it's just something people didn't talk about. It wasn't discussed. The media sure didn't talk about it. And now, you know, they've got Trump that they can talk about 24/7 about whatever they want. And, you know, it's not even a factor. Another thing I wanted to bring up while we're on the topic, the Global Peace Index, it's the 11th annual one, just released its list of the most peaceful countries in the world.
Okay.
The United States is on this list. I want you to guess where they fall on this list. I'll go ahead and tell you this. Most U.S. allies are in the top 20 of the index, including Canada, Japan, Australia, Ireland, and Germany. The United Kingdom is number 41 on the list. So, where do you believe the United States would fall on the Global Peace Index?
I don't know, five.
Five. What do you say, Shannon?
I don't know, three.
114.
Oh, okay. That's, oh, yeah, that's, there we go. Yeah, that's true. That's not fake news. That's real news right there.
Yeah, I thought it was in the top 20. I was like, that's funny. Yeah, that makes more sense. I mean,
they're the 114th most peaceful country in the world. They fell 11 places from last year. Armenia and Rwanda are just in front of America on the list. Wow. El Salvador and China follow. Iceland is at the top of the list, which is a spot they've held since 2008, is joined at the top of the index by New Zealand, Portugal, Austria, and Denmark. There was also very little change at the bottom of the index. Syria remains dead last, followed by Afghanistan, Iraq, South Sudan, and Yemen. Ironically, the United States is in all of those countries.
Yeah.
But 114th, that to me is a pretty big headline that, of course, is not being talked about. But why would they? That's not exactly some PR for them.
Well, and at the same time, you tell that to some people, particularly your folks on the right side of the aisle, and they're going to puff their chest up with that one. Yeah, that's right, because we're kicking ass and taking names.
But what about the right, outside of certain people, there is a certain part of the Republican Party, and look, it's completely wrong, and I completely disagree with it, but I at least respect the fact that they're just like, yeah, we're for war. Like, people like John McCain, like, he makes no bones about what he believes in. It's crazy.
Maverick.
Yeah, he should be in a mental institution, but Dick Cheney, John McCain, they just, like, bomb everything. But
well, Dick Cheney does because he's making money off of it, hand over fist.
They just supported Trump that are like, yeah, we are tired of police in the world. We are tired of doing this. And then, you know, they just kind of put their head down and act like they don't hear stuff like this. Most of them don't, to be fair. But if they did hear it, they just shrug and be like, hey, well, what are you going to do? He's better than Hillary. Did you want Hillary? That's what you'd hear.
Why won't she just go away?
Yeah, she's come out of her coffin this week, and she's still blaming everything under the sun for her loss.
Isn't she? She's an activist now, right?
I don't know what she does. Yeah.
She's an activist citizen. She can't even say that right. She's like, I'm going to be an activist citizen. Who says that?
Look.
Hillary Clinton.
We're getting a way more entertaining show with Trump winning. I'll say that. Because we were clearly screwed either way, and this is way more entertaining.
But at the same time, though, the same horror show still exists. And the things that we're sitting here complaining about, the actual legitimate concerns we have with the Trump administration, not just a bunch of rhetoric and talking points.
I think the global headlines would be exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Civilian body count, ISIS, terror, warplanes left and right. And, of course, very extremely strained relations with Russia. We have that now, but I don't think we have that in the way that it's being advertised, because Trump is still in talks and negotiations with Russia. Some people feel that that's for the worse, because secrets are being exchanged and so on and so forth and this, that, and the other. I don't know have we got to the bottom of what secrets he supposedly spilt that were so detrimental to our national security?
No, because there are none.
Exactly.
Something
told to him in a meeting. He repeated it, thinking it was safe for them to know about it, and then all of a sudden it became a big issue about absolutely nothing. Nobody's going to say what the secrets were, because they're secrets, right?
Right. Well, it's politics, and it's a story that was invented to help her get elected. It didn't work, so they wanted to attack him and.
Well, I'm talking about the most recent round of, Trump running his mouth to people that he's not supposed to run his mouth to.
Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. I mean, first off, we knew Trump was going to run his mouth, and that's why a lot of people voted him in. The few people that didn't vote him in just because he wasn't Hillary Clinton. And nobody else really stood any kind of chance whatsoever, because we live in the two-party paradigm.
Oh, well, of course.
I feel like I need a shower now.
I still believe it was set up for Rubio to win at the beginning, but little Marco got crushed. But yeah, he did. That's the nature of the beast that we've become.
Crushed by the big, beautiful hands.
It's we're in that much of a world of theater now. and the crazier you get, as long as you, what's the old saying? It's 90% of how you say it and 10% of, we're experiencing that day, every single day. It doesn't matter what's said anymore. It's just a bunch of nonsense. And the thing that's frustrating to, the thing that's, I think, the most frustrating part of it, it's not even the politicians saying this stuff. It's not the stuff that's being reported on the news at this point. I expect that. I'm used to that. It just is what it is, sadly.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that there's still so many people out there, and they're believing. And I, and you know, it, doing what we do and being around the people that I think we're all around, you get in this bubble for at times, and you're just like, oh man, maybe people's waking up. And then you like go back out people, and it's just like, you believe what? You think what happened? What's wrong with you? And you find out that that's predominantly how people think, whether it's Fox News or MSNBC. It just depends on which generation you're talking to. But
oh, well, and it also depends on which room you happen to be in, too. I mean, you know, there again, you know, I do construction work for a living, and I'm on construction sites a lot. Living in the South, deal with a lot of people that are very pro-Trump and are very vocal about it. But now it's gotten to the point where when they're vocal about it, they kind of, it's like they're fixing to tell a dirty racist joke, and they have to look both ways and then they lean in. I've had that happen so much over the past year. And I, you know, a lot of people, I guess they think it's okay because I do speak with a heavy Southern accent. I'm a white dude. And of course my reaction to them is not what they're anticipating, because they want me to give them a thumbs up. Yeah, that Trump's really blah, blah, this, and those people, blah, blah, this. And, you know, they're trying to open it up for a dialogue, and it's ended for some very stiff endings of conversations, put it that way. Because, you know, and I've learned to kind of keep my mouth shut as far as, because, you know, I'm a practicing anarchist. Or I like to, I prefer the term volunteers. I love my nap. But at the same time, you know, I try not to be too terribly vocal about it. It's almost kind of like religion. You know, you really don't want to push your religion. If you happen to have certain religious beliefs, you don't want to push your religion.
Oh, it's totally. I think we're totally in an age where people, whether they realize it or not, I don't think most would ever admit it, but it's on the level of religion with people.
Squarely on the level. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It has become a new brand of religion, almost as even more fanatical than just, you know, rooting for a football team, which is kind of what it used to be. You know,
people are that intertwined with it emotionally, and they don't even realize it. They don't realize how much it's grabbed a hold of them. And how people react, and how fast they react, and how offended they get at this stuff, you know.
But it's weird though, because living in Birmingham, Alabama, which is a very, very, very liberal pocket of Alabama, it's really strange. It just depends on which room you happen to be in. And which conversation, how people start the conversation as to which way it's going to go and which echo chamber you stumbled in.
The only people that I know outside of a few family members here in town, like, they all voted for Hillary, every single one of them. And I know Alabama's clearly predominantly Trump, and it's a red state, but most of the people I know voted for Hillary.
There were quite a few Bernie holdovers too that decided to either go third party.
Most started with Bernie. I will say that most of them started with Bernie, but they were converted pretty easily.
And pretty much, and the only reason they were converted, and some of them were pretty, you know, following very intently on what the DNC WikiLeaks had to say about.
Well,
the DNC's treatment of Bernie.
They didn't want to hear any of that. I told everybody about
it. It was pretty much a vote for Hillary was a vote against Trump, and that was the end of it. I really don't like her that much either, but it's, you know, it's between a bad smell and a rotting corpse, and all.
Every single one said I was an idiot. Everyone said I was wrong, and I don't respect most of these people anyway, and I told them what was going to happen, and then it happened. So nobody knows what's going on. They get wrapped up in their emotions. You cannot view politics with emotions. That's the point of it. That's what propaganda does. If you view it that way, you're going to get led astray so fast. And I don't care what side you're on. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you view it with those eyes, you're going to believes some crazy nonsense, because you're going to start believing what you think is right, what you want to happen. The world's this way. Look, sorry, that's not the way the world is, whatever rose-colored glasses you're viewing it from. This is a cold place, and people lie every single day, and they'll do whatever they have to do to continue to gain more power, period. That's what politics is.
And again, you referenced House of Cards earlier, and of course, later on in the season, I'm going to try not to issue any spoilers, but there's the conversation that the president has before the Congress, and pretty much kind of displays exactly how little...
No spoilers. I'm not there yet. No spoilers.
Just basically, it's just a conversation about how limited the president's powers truly are. Who has the real power in America, and that's definitely not found in the White House at all.
I think
even Donald Trump's starting to realize that now, too. That's kind of why he's been a lot more subdued as of late.
Well, speaking of Donald Trump, I want to reference another story that we put up yesterday on the antimedia.org. And I think this is an important one. When we're talking about the national security budget for 2018, the most recent figures related to Donald Trump's proposed increase in Pentagon spending, along with cuts at the State Department, show the general national security budget of the United States rising once again, with the 2018 proposal in the ballpark of $1.1 trillion, with a T, dollars. We're broke. Our country is broke, and they want to spend $1.1 trillion on national security. Yeah.
They want to? No. Let's go ahead and change that here in about, I don't know, however long it's going to take this to go through. Let's go and change that to will. Congress and the House of Representatives are all in with this whole Middle East get rid of ISIS and terrorists thing. And of course,
that's the corporate
puppet masters pulling the puppet strings, making their mouths work just exactly like they're supposed to. It's going to go through. Just go ahead and mark that down, because any vote no is a vote for terror. Let's go ahead and get that. That's going to be the narrative as they're debating this on the floor.
And look, and all these Democrats that fight Trump over everything he says, over everything he proposes, over everything he does, you watch. Write it down now. They will keep their mouth shut. They will say nothing. They will go, this is a good idea. We want to stay safe. And they will just pass this through without saying a word. And nobody will ever hear about it. And it'll maybe make a blurb on headline news for 2 seconds to say they talked about it. The end. And the world will keep on spinning, and the bombs will keep on dropping.
Hopefully, no. And again, at least they didn't try to hide the fact that it was $1.1 trillion, instead of just take the however many trillion they want to, and then just kind of quietly explain that they lost it. And then a couple.
That'll happen too. Don't worry.
Then a couple buildings fall the next day, but right? Crazy stuff happens.
If they're telling us that they want to spend $1.1 trillion, imagine how much they really will.
Oh, there's no telling.
Well, and again, y'all are saying that this, I know that this deal is quote unquote not quite gone through yet, but you're acting like they're wanting to, or they're going to. This is that money, so you might as well go and mark that money as spent. More money we don't have.
Well, it's their plan to spend that. They have going forward.
Yes, absolutely. With both middle fingers up, do something about it if you don't like it.
Well, we all know nothing's going to, there's going to be no resistance to it, because the people that are out there protesting Trump don't even realize this kind of stuff's going on.
Well, let's say we all got together and agreed that it was a bad idea. How do we stop it? we stop paying taxes. The most effective way to do it is to stop paying taxes. No one's going to do that. So.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm going to tell
you. Josie's the winner on that one, buddy.
I'm going to tell you what I believe the one way. You, of course, have to have a lot of people to do it. I think there is one way to make a difference with the people in Washington. It sounds like, oh, yeah, that wouldn't work. But you have to remember that these people are sociopaths and they're grabbing for power. That's all they care about. They're greedy and they're power hungry. If you have enough people call their offices and say, if you do this, you will not be reelected. And if there's enough people that call in, this is what happened with the war in Syria in 2013 and why they backed off of it. Because a lot of people said, don't do it. And they want to stay in power. And they're like, look, we'll lose this one battle to keep where we're at. And that's worth it to them. They'll lose one battle because they know there's another one right over the hill and they'll figure it out. But that's how you can at least back them off in the short term. In the long term, I don't know what you can do because they're going to end up pushing through what they want anyway. And they're going to do it a lot more silently and nobody's going to know about it. And they're going to wait till it, you know, the anger dies down. And when the anger dies down, they're going to push it through. And nobody's going to care anymore. And they're going to get what they want anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the most effective way is to pull out their means of doing it. The only way to stop them from doing it is to stop giving them money. And no one's going to stop doing that. They don't have wealth. They don't produce wealth. They don't have money without the money they take from other people.
You're never going to get, while that's correct, you're never going to get enough people to do that.
Oh, sad. Never. Absolutely not. I mean, it's not, and I can't see it happening in my lifetime. That's for sure.
Yeah. Cause go back to what you were talking about earlier, about the religious aspect of government. I mean, you know, that's the new God now.
Yeah.
And when God tells you, you're going to do something or you're going to get smoked, then you go ahead and you go ahead and do that thing so you don't get smoked.
Well, it's understandable. It's not like it's not understandable. It's all anyone's ever lived with. So people, you know, they think, oh, well, we don't pay taxes. And then what happens? And then people are fearful because it is unpredictable and it can be scary and it could be dangerous. So I understand it. I'm willing to do it. So like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I wish we could have Larkin Rose on right now. He could definitely, firsthand experience tell us what it's all about.
It's definitely frightening. It's scary. It's dangerous. And, you know, or you will die in prison if you get caught not paying taxes and you refuse to pay taxes. That is what will happen.
Yeah. I mean, the reality of it, real quick, just to hammer home what we were talking about with the $1.1 trillion, I want to reference real quick a story from last week that we put up on the antimedia.org. According to a government audit from 2016, the United States Army has lost track of $1 billion worth of military material sent to Iraq. The equipment intended to aid Iraqi forces is part of the Iraq Train and Equip Fund, a program born out of the 2015 NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, which we all know about. Was it the 2012 NDAA? Was it the 2012 or 2011 where they get to indefinitely detain us all?
I think it's 2012.
I think it was too. But anyway, so yeah, just a reminder, just recently we found out the United States Army lost track of $1 billion worth of military material that's just somewhere in Iraq.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're spending trillions, I mean, what's $1 billion? You know what I'm saying? It's like losing, like, you know, a $5 bill on the couch you go to sleep one night.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. But they need more money, by the way. They need
And bear in mind, that's $1 billion of equipment that's in the hands of the enemy.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, that's a big whoops right there because that just keeps the war going, doesn't it?
And hold on, let me see this. Let me pull this up. Speaking of Iraq, let's say for instance it didn't end up in the hands of the enemy. Let's say it ended up in the hands of, for instance, the Iraqi Special Forces. Another story on the front page under the Our News column, three stories down on the antimedia.org from today. U.S. military still working with blacklisted Iraqi special forces. Here's the fun part. The U.S. military has continued to assist an Iraqi Special Forces unit that has been banned from receiving training and equipment over human rights abuses. Members of the Emergency Response Division, which was blacklisted by the United States Congress in 2015, were photographed torturing and killing civilians late last year. A U.S. military spokesperson said late on Wednesday that even though the U.S. blacklisted them, the ban does not prevent the U.S. from working with them, as we do with other elements of the Iraqi security forces, to ensure a coordinated effort, blah, 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 blah. So Congress, it's under the Leahy law, actually said that we are not to have any dealings with them because they were torturing and killing civilians. But guess what? We're doing it anyway. So maybe they got some of the $1 billion of weapons we lost. Great.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's actually a good point.
Everyone's doing just a bang-up job in Washington, I'll tell you what. All over the world, for that matter. But hey, look, Trump's going to be the end of us all. Was Trump president in 2015?
Unfortunately, it's not going to be the end. It's definitely not going to be the end. Even if he served out, and he can serve out another 4 years, if people want to put up with that, I kind of half see that happening. Depending on who the Democrats decide to throw into the ring, since we're all in with this whole two party paradigm crap. Do you really think Hillary's going to try to run yet one more time?
It won't happen. It won't. There's no way it'll happen. Just no way. I think she probably wants to, and I think there's people out there that are pushing for it, but it's not going to happen. There's going to be people step in on that one and be like, we're not doing this again. I don't know who they're going to run.
Bernie will probably be too old he's kind of almost was too old to begin with.
He was too old. He's too old to run. But yeah. To me, I mean, this conversation's like talking about what happened on Monday Night Raw last week.
Because it is. The outcome is the same.
I do find it entertaining. Like, I am fascinated with it, but it, to me, is the exact same thing as talking about Survivor Series. It just is what it is. I don't know who they're going to run. I'm very curious to see who they're going to run. If they wanted to actually win, I think they would run either Tulsi Gabbard, which will never happen, or Cory Booker, which could happen, but I think they're going to hold him back to 2024. So I don't know who they've got other than those two. I think anybody else they run is probably going to get beat, even against Trump. And we've got a long ways to go. A lot could happen between now and then, and a lot will happen between now and then. But, you know, we could have another case of Obama where, you know, he wasn't that big of a name on the scene in 2005, or 2004 even. 2005 is where this is where we're at now. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. But it's interesting.
Now, let me pose another interesting question to you, too, because, of course, the GOP is going to back the president. But at the same time, who would be, who would dare to, you know, challenge Mein Fuhrer from the Republican Party?
Depends on how bad he does. If he does really, really bad, they may put somebody up against him. And I'm saying this.
Put Rubio back up to bat? No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. It won't be Cruz either.
How about Ryan?
I hope it's Dwayne Johnson. I'm serious. I'm 100% serious when I say that. Because, look, it is that's where we're at this point. I don't want anybody to be in office that's not a WWE Hall of Famer from this moment on. I'm serious.
Fair enough, yeah. I don't see where The Rock is going to be any worse than Trump is.
Right.
Actually, I think it'd be kind of entertaining. He's a cool dude. He knows how to crack a joke, you know. Knows how to deliver his lines like he's supposed to.
He's entertaining.
Put that elbow on him just in case, you know, when they start getting fresh.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. He's entertaining. Why not? Let's do that. Let's just get really entertaining people to be president from now on. That's might as well. I mean, that's probably a really sick way of looking at things, but kind of how I feel at this point. That's kind of where I think we're at. I think the whole system is so corrupt from top to bottom. Let's have Kevin Spacey be president.
Oh, wow. That'd be awesome.
Let him play Frank Underwood as president. Let's do that. That'd be
I would love that.
Yeah.
I would totally vote for the Underwoods as president.
Yeah. Why not?
I'd vote for that ticket.
See? There you go. That's it. That's just have some really, really entertaining people.
We already did that, y'all. That was the Clinton administration. Come on now.
That is true.
Yeah, but that was a different kind of entertaining. He was still a lifelong.
There wasn't really much entertaining about that, especially when you got to really know Bill. Yikes.
He was a lifelong political figure. We're at the stage now where we're just talking just entertainers running for president.
Yeah, well, the president, the office of the president doesn't hold any real power anyway. So, I mean, you know, why not go the full nine with it? We've danced around the issue with Donald Trump and Ronald Reagan. Let's go the full nine. Let's put the rock in office. I personally wish Jesse Ventura would run, but I think he's too smart for that.
I don't think he would win. I think a lot of people think he would win. I don't think he would win because I think he tells. Well, I don't agree with everything he says. I think
he gets a little out there with some stuff.
But he tells a little bit too much of the truth about some stuff, and I don't think that ever happened. I do believe, as insane as this sounds, and I'm very serious, I do think Frank Johnson could become president. It's crazy.
If Donald Trump can become president, you don't think The Rock can't? Won't he at least have a decent showing? Come on,
man. I bet you there were people in this world. Think about it. Reagan, people just laughed. This actor's going to become president, blah, blah, blah. Happened. Donald Trump becoming president, that's never going to happen. It happened. Why couldn't Dwayne Johnson become president? I think he could.
I think he could, too.
That'd be great.
Why two not? WWE Hall of Famers consecutively for president. Man, Vince McMahon has his chest out right now.
Vince is running the world anyway. That's just put him in office. He's too old.
Nah, he wouldn't do it. He's having too much fun with what he's doing for a living.
I guess. But we've only got a couple minutes here. I'm gonna throw it to either one of y'all that want to give a couple of words, just kind of your overall feeling of the past week and the insanity, and just where are we going from here? Is it going to get any better?
I haven't really been paying attention at all, to be honest. Like, I've just what we've been talking about. Everything is pretty much kind of just repeating itself every news cycle. It's just another outrage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
My personal take is that we have less than 100 days till Alabama football, so I'm just kind of trying to hold out till then. So, that and Kathy Griffin should not be a thing anymore. I think we need to ban Kathy Griffin.
Okay, what's more offensive, Kathy Griffin or the Trump tweet?
What Trump tweet?
Which one? I mean, there's so many to choose from.
The one where he misspelled the word.
Oh my gosh, I like the memes. Actually, you know what? The first 2 hours of that was great. Everything after that was horrible. Like, it was done. After 2 hours, I was like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it. Yeah, he misspelled coverage. He's like, you know, tweeting like he normally does, probably on Ambien or something like that at 2 o'clock in the morning.
On a scale from 1 to 10, what are the chances that was done on purpose?
I think he did it by accident, but said, fuck it, just leave it. Just
yeah. It was late. You know, here's my little tweet for the night. Oh, yeah, I got to appease my Twitter followers real quick before I go to bed, and misspelled the word and went to bed.
Didn't even finish the sentence. It wasn't even misspelled. Like, it just.
Yeah, that was an Ambien text, man. Trust me, I've seen Ambien text before. You know, I've dated a lot of crazy women, so, you know.
I think he gained from it because he got what he. I agree with you, Josie. I think it was. And it went out accidentally, but I think he left it up because he gained more from it than he lost. Hey, nothing's going to happen to him. It doesn't matter. That's it for us tonight. Jay's going to be up next. Nick will be here on Monday. For Josie, for Shannon, I am SM Gibson, Anti-Media Radio. Out. Yo, here we go through the stereo. This is live through the
radio. Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening.